Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and we are going to be talking about depression today and what's said about depression in the book The Might of Thoughts, Macht der Gedanken in the German. This is a book written by Billy Meyer. Billy Meyer is an 80-year-old man who lives in Switzerland, about 45 minutes east of Zurich, in a tiny little mountain village called Hinterschmidruti, nestled in the pine forests and the snow-capped mountains of northern Switzerland. Billy has written over 50 books. I have four of them. This one we're in today, called The Might of Thoughts, I've read numerous times, so many I've lost track, maybe 7, 8, 9, I don't know. Another book called The Way to Live, Die Art zu Leben. It's another tremendous book of spiritual teachings. Third book called The Psyche, and a fourth book called The Goblet of Truth. All of these books are bilingual, English on one page, German on the other. The German is supposed to release information from something called the Universal Storage Banks. There are storage banks of information in our universe, in our galaxy, and around our planet. And these are not physical storehouses of information. These are energetic storehouses of information, and Billy has the ability to connect with these and pull information out of the storage banks. We all have what's called a spirit form, which is our spiritual consciousness. The spirit form is physically no bigger than the head of a pin. It enters into the child at 21 days old, and that's when the fetus, the heart starts to beat in the fetus. The spirit form brings in a new personality and a new conscious mind. Stored in the spirit form are all of the evolutive values of your previous lives, everything that you learned in kind of a summarized form in different categories. For example, everything you learned about logic and discernment and love and optimism and confidence and thankfulness and all of these things that you've been storing in your spirit through many, many lifetimes are summarized and stored in the spirit form. And also these values are actually programmed into your subconscious. What we get is a new material personality, a new material consciousness, a new personality, a new subconscious, a new unconscious, and a new conscious mind. And then that conscious mind, that material consciousness, has to learn to speak a language. It has to learn to control its emotions. But all the time you're growing up, you will be impulsed by your spirit form, your spiritual consciousness, or what's also sometimes referred to as your innermost creational personality. Now, we have a material consciousness that is made up of our psyche, our conscious mind, our subconscious mind, our unconscious mind, our personality. Now, that's what has to grow up again. And that's where depressions can occur in the material consciousness. Your spiritual consciousness cannot be harmed by anything in the material world. It's never depressed. It's never angry. It's always what's called neutral positive. The universe, the universal intelligence, the universal consciousness is always neutral positive. And our goal is to also think in a neutral positive way. And some of the characteristics of neutral positive thinking include things like confidence. Let me rattle off a few concepts and ways to kind of heal your consciousness when it goes down the wrong path. Tell yourself, I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful, I'm enthusiastic, I'm thankful, I'm in harmony, I persevere, I persist, I endure, I am calm, I have hope, I'm the master of my own destiny, I'm the forger of my own fortune, I'm the creator of my own good luck, I do not allow my thoughts to wander, I steer my thoughts like a captain steers a ship, I strengthen my good thoughts, I nurture my good thoughts, so that I have good thoughts, good feelings, good habits, and therefore good circumstances in my life. What I think I make real, what I think about myself, I become. My thoughts create the reality that I have. I do not allow my circumstances and my environment to form me. I form my environment and circumstances through my good thoughts and good feelings. And feelings come out of the thinking. The feelings come as a discharge from the thinking, because the thoughts could run hot, so to speak, without the discharge of our feelings. And the feelings are kind of an accumulated evolutive knowledge. In other words, through your experience in this life and even in others, perhaps, we have certain feelings about things. And these kind of help their storehouses of information, almost like your logic. You know, your feelings are very important, and we shouldn't thwart our feelings unless they're negative. Now, this requires a lot of discernment, because about 95% of our negative thoughts and feelings are what's called asartang, or out of control of the good human nature, and they'll lead you down a path which is very unhealthy. However, there are certain negative feelings which we should pay attention to. Remember, you have to have the negative and the positive in order to maintain a balance in the psyche. But most all of those negative thoughts and feelings, you want to just get rid of. Now, so you have to really kind of think about your thoughts. Now, depressions are based on flattened feelings. And these flattened feelings are determined by either conscious or unconscious negative thinking. If negative thinking occurs, if it stabilizes and deepens, then you can get yourself into a very, very bad situation where it becomes harder and harder to think in a positive way. And depression is a state of low mood. It's an aversion to activity that can affect a person's thoughts, their behavior, and their feelings. And you might call the flattening of the feelings the removal of the highs. And probably, I don't know, I guess you can continue to get lower and lower and lower until the point of where you're about ready to commit suicide. Anyway, once you start down thinking in a negative way, negative thoughts, negatively, they disturb the psyche, okay? And that disturbing of the psyche causes a rotation of thoughts. And these rotating negative thoughts form neural pathways in your brain. And you can go back to those. As soon as you're triggered again, you go back to your negative pathways that are formed in your brain. So what we want to do is learn neutral positive thoughts. Not that we eliminate all the negative. We recognize that negative is a part of the life. But we want to eliminate the negative thinking that leads us down this path of rotating thoughts, because we build these neural pathways in our brain where the thoughts rotate over and over and over again, and they make us less and less healthy each time. And the body, your body is said to be plastic. It's shaped, or easily shaped or molded. So the habitual thinking, the habitual behavior actually negatively affects the body. So, and if you have habitual anger, for one thing, that can actually cause cancer cells to grow in your liver. And these old habits are hard to break, and the new habits are hard to form, because the behavior patterns are repeated and imprinted in what are called neuropathways. And there are these tiny gaps in the pathways called the synapse, and the electrical signal has to jump across this gap. And the gap between the two brain cells is tiny. However, the first time the signal crosses from one brain cell to another, that's where it requires the most effort. But the more and more times the signal jumps across the two neuropathways, the two brain cells, then it becomes easier and easier and easier. So you need to train. Part of the goal of this book is to train ourselves to think in a neutral, positive way and fight against these negative thoughts that we sometimes nurture. And when you nurture unclean, pessimistic, wrong, sick, bad, and negative thoughts, it affects your body, not only your psychological point of view, but it also affects your body. And it's said that optimists do live longer, and having a positive attitude lowers the risk of heart attack. So the origins of the thoughts thereby formed from various factors. They arrive from ideas and views, as well as wishes and desires. And it's necessary to control the very origins of our thoughts. So let me read just a little section from page 100 here. It says, let me step back one little. His sentences are quite long. And he's talking about the flattening of the feelings that leads to depression. The result of this flattened psychological form of reaction is in turn then enough that it is consciously or unconsciously perceived by the brain, that is to say by the consciousness, and is as a further negative consequence mentally processed consciously or unconsciously to create from that further conscious or unconscious feelings through which the psyche is negatively further influence, whereby the poverty of expression, the poverty of experience are increased. So once you go down the negative path, the negative thoughts multiply. So the goal is to be like a gardener, reach in there and rip out negative thoughts and get your thoughts focused on something neutral or neutral positive. The logically, this produces a vicious cycle. When you start down the flattening of feelings, this is a vicious cycle, and it progresses steadily if it is not resolved within the necessary and suitable means. So, and it's a challenge to stop this rotation of thoughts, and that's one of the things we have to learn to do. The negative rotating thoughts, they affect your health, they can affect your appearance. They can make you live in a self-created imprisonment. and where you're always thinking negative thoughts. So the key is, do not allow your thoughts to drift. Most human beings allow their thought boats to drive unchecked on the ocean of conscious and unconscious intentions. So do not allow your thought boat to drift. Take a hold of the wheel and steer your thoughts. So these destructive thoughts form destructive feelings, and destructive feelings can cause more destructive thoughts, and the body becomes susceptible to illness, to disease. The immune system becomes impaired. If the thoughts are constructive, if they're beautiful, if they're positive, if they're happy, the feeling in the psyche also becomes happy. Another thing we have to learn is a conscious or an unconscious purposefulness. And this is able to bring our thoughts to fruition. So it is the nature of the thoughts that every conceivable thing can be brought to fruition. So your thoughts are just absolutely incredibly powerful. And there's what's called a we form in humanity. In some mysterious way, all of our subconsciousnesses are connected. So you're happy, healthy, constructive, beautiful, positive, equalized thoughts can affect all of humanity's collective subconscious. This is my understanding so far, anyway. Therefore, the mind of the thoughts is only effective when you have a definite intention, and that's called, as Billy calls that, the zeal, the ultimate endpoint associated with the thoughts. The conscious mind is aware at the present moments. However, sometimes we're said to have three minds. We have the conscious, the subconscious, and the unconscious. The unconscious mind has an incredibly fast processing rate, and the subconscious mind or the unconscious mind is incredibly fast in processing, and it creates whole structures of thought, and then it kind of hands it off to the conscious mind, and the conscious mind has to go slowly, step by step, through all these thoughts to really understand what's already understood by the unconscious mind. So the real power of the mind is in the subconscious and the unconscious. The conscious mind, some researchers say, has no memory, that it can only hold on to one thought at a time. So the conscious mind identifies information, it compares the information, it does the analysis, and finally the conscious mind makes a decision. Now, the subconscious mind, or what's called the preconscious mind, has information in it. Now, you can become aware of this information once you direct your attention to it. So we have these preconscious thoughts. It is possible that some of what you might perceive to be unconscious becomes subconscious and then conscious. So a long-forgotten childhood memory will suddenly emerge after decades that you haven't thought about. The unconscious mind consists of the primitive instinctual wishes as well as other information we cannot access. The unconscious is the part of the mind that is inaccessible to the conscious mind, but that affects our behavior and emotions, so we have to constantly be analyzing our behavior, our emotions. Sometimes we might say, wow, where did that emotion come from? Well, it probably came from the unconscious. Now, Freud says that the unconscious mind is a reservoir of feelings, thoughts, urges, and memories. And that's the unconscious mind. We have also unacceptable, unpleasant things, pain, anxiety, conflict. So the unconscious mind is often represented by an iceberg. Everything above the water represents our conscious awareness, while everything below the water is the unconscious. Now, if you go back to Contact Report 200, and if you're new to this show, Billy Meyer claims that starting at a time when he was about 4 years old, he started to get telepathic contacts from an extraterrestrial human being who was not an angel, not a demon, not a spiritual being, but a human being just like you and I from another star system. And Billy started getting these telepathic messages, and eventually he met with Spoth, who was his mentor for 11 years and even brought Billy up into his pear-shaped spacecraft. Well, there was a teacher called Carl Graf, which was one of Billy's friends. Carl knew Billy's pastor. Pastor Rudolph Zimmerman also had telepathic contact with the Pleiaren, who are the extraterrestrials Billy had contact with for years, and Pastor Rudolph Zimmerman became one of Billy's confidants and friends. Well, Carl Graf, who was Billy's teacher, knew about Billy's contacts with Spoth. And Carl, one time, was even allowed to see Spoth's ship, which is very interesting. In any case, Billy asked his teacher, Carl Graf, Billy was a very young boy at this time, 5, 6 years old, that if Carl could not answer them, could Carl ask Professor Jung, Carl Gustav Jung? And Professor Jung, interested in the boy who asked such profound questions, he requested a photo, and allegedly Professor Jung got a photo of young Billy and was able to meet with him for one day for about 45 minutes. And Professor Carl Jung knew about Billy's contacts with Spoth, and he passed the information on to his niece. And Professor Carl Jung's niece eventually became a UFO investigator. Interesting story there. This is from some complimentary information from Contact Report 200. So Billy has had a very fascinating life. He met with Spoth for about 11 years growing up. And then eventually, and I think it was right around 1954, and that's a guesstimation, I'd have to check my notes, he started having meetings with a woman named Asket, a woman from the Tao universe. See, according to these extraterrestrial humans, there are two parallel universes. There are many, many universes, many more than ours, but our Dern universe has a sister universe called the Tao universe, and they're kind of parallel. And Billy's second extraterrestrial mentor was a woman from a race of people called the Timmers who live in this Tao universe. Well, our universe and the Tao universe were created about 46 trillion years ago. So our universes are much older than what our scientists think. Our scientists think that the universe is only about 45 billion years old because matter only lasts for about 45 billion years, at which time it returns to an energetic state. So there is this constant cycle of material being formed in our universe and materials going back to energy. And our universe is roughly egg-shaped. It has 7 counter-rotating layers. And the 4th layer is where all the stars and the galaxies and the solar systems are. And there is energy that comes from the center of our universe, from the layer, the next layer, the 3rd layer, and also energies that come from the outer belts of our universe. And they meet each other in this material belt and they form matter. And our universe is in its first stage of evolution. There are many, many universes, according to Meyer information. And our universe, this particular first evolutive phase, will last something like 315 trillion years, roughly. And we are in the expansion phase of our universe, and the contraction phase begins after that, but we have probably another over 100 trillion years before the contraction phase begins. So this is just some supplementary information that Billy has got from these extraterrestrials as well. But this book that we're looking at is far more down to earth and far more practical in some ways. But it's also very good to understand that the universe, the universal intelligence, is a neutral positive entity that radiates love. It is not a heavenly father. It doesn't require you to be a slave. You don't have to be a sheep. You don't have to submit yourself. You only have to learn how to control your thoughts, because your thoughts generate incredible potential. So one of the things that we need to learn is the intention, or the setting of a zeal or an endpoint. And this can be done consciously or unconsciously, because a thought, in fact, can only be filled when there is one of these intentions. So we should have conscious strivings towards a zeal, also unconscious ones. And only when that is occurring can we reach that, can these mindful thoughts manifest. One of our philosophies should be live and help live. So as higher beings who can control their thoughts, this is important. Since we have the ability to control our thoughts, we also have the ability to affect our surroundings. And we should be good custodians of the earth. We should help the animals and the plants, but we're not. Instead, we're, through our unawareness, and maybe you could say stupidity, we're destroying the very world we live on. We have 9 billion people, nearly 9 billion people on the planet, and I think about 9,000 births per hour over the people that are dying. So we continue to destroy our forests. Our forests have very important functions on the planet, one of which is moderating the weather. So we're destroying our planets because we do not understand the nature of creation, and we're destroying ourselves because we do not understand the power of our own thoughts. Human beings who do not overcome their weaknesses and do not free themselves from the content of all their negative and destructive thoughts will remain weak, wretched, and miserable. In order to be successful, human beings must renounce their selfishness, which as a rule degenerates into immoderateness. So I'll jump a little bit ahead here. And this is a really, in my particular edition of The Might of Thoughts, a really good page, page 176, which was completely filled with highlighted areas. That's one of the problems, is where you get more highlighted area than actual unhighlighted area. So you just have to learn everything. So let me read a little bit here. It says, the human beings who do not overcome their weaknesses and do not free themselves from the contents of all their negative and destructive thoughts will remain weak, wretched, and miserable, because their refusal to raise their thoughts brings increased inner and outer unfreedom, which finally ends in affliction, illness, and ruin. So learn to fix your thoughts onto something neutral, like a tree or a pet or furniture in your house. Have a wishful dream. Go back to a a pleasant circumstance that you had either recently or in your childhood, and focus on that and just let all the negative thoughts go. It is the nature of the thoughts that by means of their mind alone, every conceivable thing can be brought to fruition. So you can bring both either positive or negative things to fruition. That means in order to be successful, the human being must renounce his or her selfishness, as I said, which degenerates into immoderateness. Selfishness and immoderateness must be dissolved and eliminated in order to discover and develop one's latent resources. So one of the things we're fighting against is our basic tendency towards selfishness, which leads to, in many cases, these negative rotating thoughts. If the human being does not begin to effectively control his or her thoughts, he or she never gets into a position of really controlling what is happening in his life. In other words, if you don't control your thoughts, circumstances will start to run out of control. If you maintain low thoughts, then the leading of one's life is constrained. So you're no longer leading your life. So your innate well-being and your own evolution are also constrained. The human being's world and life are limited by his or her thoughts. So the more powerful, the more positive your thoughts are, the more neutral positive, the more healthy. So you need to tend and nurture your thoughts. As a result of the might inherent of the thoughts, they are brought to realization, and as such, they determine the prosperity and adversity of every individual. So it's interesting, and I don't have all the answers, folks, but somehow our thoughts bring adversity into our lives, and I can certainly see that. But what is fascinating is some adversities seem to be, and I say seem to be, not caused by us, but I wonder if in fact, through the power of our subconscious and unconscious, we actually bring adversities to ourselves that we're not even aware of. Therefore, the life always forms according to thoughts which are chosen, tended, and nurtured. The way of the progress is generally paved with errors, so we're going to make mistakes along the way. But the goal here is, as the OM says, one of Billy's books, the Omphala Murata says, speaking of Earth humans, that we are prisoners of ourselves, and we are full of unrighteousness, ill humor, selfishness, and self-pity. So we have to correct our thoughts. And one of the ways to correct your thoughts, I've found, is to focus on the creational natural laws. And one particular creational natural law is called love. Love is the highest principle in all creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. So there's an absolute logic to all the plants, to all the animals, to all the relationships that exist in nature. And this love, it's the highest principle in all creation. Love will forever be the purpose for our existence. But this is not a romantic love. It's the love that says live and help live. It's a neutral, positive love. That's a good way to tell. If your love is burning hot, maybe it's not the love that's talked about in the Meyer material. But we want a neutral, positive love. And that's the way the universe thinks. That's the way the universe works. Our spirit forms are said to be a toll stock, a fragment of this universal consciousness which radiates love. The incredible splendor of nature is a visible expression of the love of creation, and creation radiates love, although it's not a heavenly father. And it really has no personality the way we human beings perceive a personality. In the German, it's called a Wesenheiten, which means it evolves according to these predetermined points. And we human beings, we are Wesen, we are called Wesen. So we have a personality, we can decide to slack off and maybe take a lifetime or two where we don't evolve. But I tell you, the one thing I notice, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the one thing I notice is that if you do slack off, you won't have the enjoyment that you would otherwise desire, because our enjoyment of life is directed or linked directly to something called striving, which is another creational natural law. And this comes from the book, The Way to Live. It says, striving creates the life right up to the being. Striving means delectation in a form which is always fulfilling and progressive. But to be without striving means unwillingness and affliction. So if you feel bored, if you feel unfulfilled, if you feel joyless or confused, that's sometimes an indication that you're not fulfilling this creational natural law of striving. The third creational natural law is kind of what we're talking about, which is the law of harmony. And it's harmony in our thinking. So we have to be neutral positive in our thinking. We have to be optimistic. We have to be confident. We have to be relaxed. We have to be thankful. We have to be enthusiastic. That means to be in the law of harmony. Now there's another law called the law of reincarnation, which I talked about briefly, that the spirit form, which resides in an area of our middle brain called the superior colliculus, this spirit form comes into the fetus at 21 days, and it sends the energies of life, the spiritual energy of life, throughout the whole body in like a lattice structure. And it brings with it the wisdom of all the previous lives, but not in a form that the material consciousness can take literally. In other words, typically we cannot recall our past life information. Sometimes it does bleed over, and there are ways to access this information to a degree, but it's better in many cases that we don't, because the past life information, if it would be all open to us at our current level of evolution, it would produce a sense of overwhelming sorrow, probably, because we would re-experience not only the highs, but all the lows that we've had and all the failures. And we need to start afresh every life so that we can focus on our evolution. But stored in our subconscious are the evolutive values from our previous life. They're programmed into our subconscious. So we need to listen for the guidance that comes from the spirit form, which will send impulses to your material consciousness. I would not say that trying to recall your previous lives is necessarily a good or a bad thing, but I think we have more important things to do, which is evolution. See, because your material consciousness in this lifetime, if it becomes adept at listening to the impulses from the spirit form, remember Semyasi said, the spirit form is the wonder of all wonders. She said it's the bearer of the creative realm. It never dies. It never sleeps during the deepest sleep. It will tell you if your thinking is right or wrong if you've learned to pay attention to it. That's Contact Report 10. That's when Billy met with Semyase in the middle 1970s. She would land her craft In the area of Hintersmidruti, Billy would get a telepathic message. He would ride his moped out to her ship and then sit under a tree and wait for her, and then she would come out of her craft, sit beside Billy in the summertime there in Switzerland, and they would have a discussion. And one of those discussions was Contact Report 10, which has this important information about the spirit form. And Semyase was Billy's mentor for a while, and she taught Billy many things. She was on her way to becoming what they call an Ishrish, if I pronounce that correctly, or a female king of wisdom. And part of her job here on the earth was to be Billy's mentor for 11 years. I think that process was cut short, though. As I've said before, when one of the members of the group, of the Figu group, named Jacobus, walked in on Billy and Semyase during a discussion, and all the primitive thoughts of Jacobus hit Semyase's material consciousness at the same time and caused her to fall down and hit her head, and then began this injury, which Semyase is still recovering from. And this is one of the reasons why these particular extraterrestrials, this particular extraterrestrial group, cannot have open contact with us, because of our, not only because of our warlike ways and many other things, but even our thinking is so actually unhealthy and primitive. To them, it's worse than a stench. It's actually, it causes them to physically lose control of their bodies. Now, the reason that Billy can be in their presence is because his spirit form is very ancient. When people say, oh, why does Billy have these contacts and other people don't? Well, his spirit form is 9.6 billion years old. And his spirit form's job, or its career, so to speak, is to help worlds in terms of their evolution. And sometimes it's called the universal prophet. And Billy Meyer is just one of the incarnations of this spirit form, who has also been the people that we call Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad, but has been other people that are less recognized in the world as being related in any way to Edward Albert Meyer. And those people would be, for example, Rasputin, a Russian peasant who passed on many important spiritual ideas. One of the other lifetimes of this spirit form that we call Edward Albert Meyer right now was Mendelssohn, Mozart, Aristotle, Socrates, Galileo, among others. All these people that I've mentioned did things and made contributions to the understanding of humanity as a whole in ways that we couldn't, or would, it would have taken us thousands and thousands and thousands of years to make the breakthroughs that these personalities did while they were here on the earth. And that's what the Universal Prophet does. It comes down, has a material lifetime that helps the collective subconsciousness, the we form of all of humanity, and helps us progress. Now, this spirit form that I'm referring to is Edward Albert Meyer, who's also known as Nocodemian, who'd been even the teacher of the Pleiad, and the Pleiad finally realized, which they didn't know at first, I don't believe, that he had been their teacher in previous lives. So you can get the book, The Psyche, the book, The Might of Thoughts, the book, The Way to Live, at theyfly.com, Michael Horn's website. You can download The Goblet of Truth for free. That's a gigantic book. It's in a PDF format. You can get that. You can go to the Future of Mankind website If you Google Billy Meyer, the Future of Mankind website will come up. That's a website that's put up by James Moore, a guy in England who is really posting all these contact reports. And that's an example of another person who's done things which have had a very positive impact on the evolution of people here on the earth. It is the dreamers, the visionaries, the fantasizers, as well as the most enthusiastic about evolution who really save our earth. Humanity should never forget or insult its dreamers, its visionaries. Those people that are gifted with imagination bring their ideas and bring progress and success for all. So having the ability to dream and to think of higher thoughts and higher things is critical for our health and welfare here on the earth. I'm going to take a very, very short break, play some more nature sounds, and then we'll finish out the show. We got about 15 minutes left here. Okay, that was a short break. We've got about 12 minutes left on the stream. I'm going to talk about a popular topic, which is called the mental fluidal energies. These are the powers that come from your mental swinging waves, from your mental emanations, and these powers come from your thoughts and your feelings. They're swinging waves. They contain the character of the human being and the movements of your consciousness. So your mental fluidal energies store themselves in books, and you can probably feel it. Like if you have a book that's stored a lot of positive mental energy in it, you pick that book up and you can feel, sense this energy. The same way if you put on like a sweatshirt or clothes that you've wore when you've had good, positive, healthy thoughts, you'll reconnect with those energies. Your thoughts, your negative and or positive thoughts go into the furniture around your home. It's a good idea not to move a lot, because if you're living in a house for years and if you're having good thoughts and positive thoughts, all those positive energies are stored in your thoughts, stored in the furniture, stored in the your surroundings, and this can be very supporting for you. The mental fluidal waves, they deposit themselves in the books, in the clothing. Be very careful about taking jewelry from other people, because you can actually pick up their mental fluidal energies that way. These mental fluidal energies, they settle into your skeleton. The character of the human being is actually deposited into objects around him. You have what's called a swinging wave that's associated with the brain, and it's talked about in the Goblet of Truth. If I can remember that particular passage, it's entitled, What the Truth Knows to Say. It says, bushes, trees, rivers, stones, plants, everything that crawls and flies on the earth is a life form with a spirit form, and these spirit forms are on a journey through time which involve many, many lifetimes. Many of these creatures are aware of each other, and they are connected by psychic swinging waves. And I think it's the waves, the psychic swinging waves, which allow the birds to move on a dime together, the fish in a school in a lake or in an ocean to move together as a unit, a herd of deer to move as a unit, because they're swinging waves of their mental fluidal energies are kind of connected together. So this is one of the interesting things about creation, is that this energy of the mind, it goes into the walls and everything around your house, and we can perceive this fluidal power in a fine-feeling way. Sometimes if you go into a house, you can feel attracted or repelled, depending on the thinking of the people that inhabit the house. I would not recommend going into a house where the people in that house are mentally unhealthy. I would not recommend going into some of these old cathedrals in Europe where that are for centuries. They've stored the thoughts of people, you know, in ancient times. They stored the thoughts of all of the funerals over all the centuries, of all the bad thoughts, of all the primitive thoughts of all those people. Billy has talked about that, and it can be very dangerous. On the other hand, if you have a piece of clothing that it may contain very positive swinging waves that you've deposited into them, the positive energies of the human being, they make a world, their own world. They create a sense of security for him or her, and that's why I also recommend not moving a lot, because the more anchored you are, the more positive waves are in that area for you to come back to. Now, if you're in a bad situation, by all means, move out of that negative environment. I'm not saying it's always a bad idea to move. It's a very good idea to move sometimes. You have to be the master of your own destiny there and the forger of your own fortune. You have to trust the impulses from your spirit form. I've moved, and I've been very glad that I did. I'm very glad that I'm where I'm at now, and very glad that I've been able to remain here, because the environment that you choose for yourself can also in turn affect your thoughts and feelings. And the positive energies, the positive thoughts, deposit themselves into the world around you, into your furniture, into your clothing. Animals and plants also have a fluidal powers associated with them. I think it's good to grow a garden. It's not good necessarily to have animals that sleep in your house, although I have one that does. Most of my cats all sleep in the garage, but and the Meyer material says you really shouldn't do that too much, but the energies of animals, I think, can be very positive for you, because they're kind of programmed to a neutral positive, mostly, not always in every sense of the word. One of my animals is barking right now. Anyway, when you enter into a house, you can feel attracted or repelled, because the swinging waves of the people that live in that house deposit themselves in the walls and beams. So the longer you are in an area, the more these things are charged by your mental energy. So learn to think in a neutral, positive way. And the negative swinging waves of people's thinking charge the objects around them, and they can cause nightmares. Even the bones that are chewed on by animals have fluidal energies of the animal that did the chewing. Now, there's also something called a back connection we can have to an earlier life. The more balanced a person is, the stronger the fluidal power and energies. The more unstable a person is, the more they can be impacted by negative swinging waves. So the more labile you are, the more unstable, the more sensitive. So as you learn, it's kind of funny, the more sensitivity you get, and you will get more sensitivity as you learn this information. You've also got to learn the stability that comes with controlling your thoughts. You have to become more stable the more you learn to control your thoughts. And the more stable you become, the more your immune system is strengthened. The more labile you are, the more unstable, the more it can lead to a weak immune system. So the mental fluid energy has also a back connection to previous lives. You should not burn your skeleton. You should not be cremated, because somehow the subconscious will make a back connection to those skeletons that remain into the ground. I think we probably should never cremate. And we probably shouldn't even build these coffins, which are like, you know, these powerful tombs. So the skeleton from the previous life contains fluidal powers associated with the previous life. And a person can draw information and power from that earlier life. Old memories and problems can be released as long as the person needs to resolve these issues. They can be held in the storage banks for years and years and years. So anyway, I thought I would just do a quick recap of some of the ideas associated with the fluidal powers and the fluidal energies. I think it's a very, very interesting topic, because the power of our thoughts are incredible. And impulses can come out of the storage bank and be accepted by the subconscious. And this is kind of an evolutive help that the human being gets. And this back connection can allow the human being to draw subconscious information out of the past. And you can get relief from issues because of this back connection. So much of these efforts come from the subconscious. So we have multiple back connections from previous lives. And these impulses from previous lives can be held for all eternity in the storage banks. These impulses can hit you over and over again as long as you need them. Sometimes evolution will require the release of your back connection. Sometimes back connecting to the fluidal powers can also create what looks like spiritual apparitions. So, and there's a story about an older lady here in the United States, she used to fall asleep at 4 p.m. every day and dream about her childhood. And you could see a spiritual apparition going through her house. It was actually the unconscious, subconscious powers of this woman that were creating this apparition. But anyway, I think we covered some very important information today. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Have a great day.